This podcast is brought to you by The Shift.
It's story time!
Hello and welcome back to the Storytime Podcast. My name is Claire. I go with Clizair on the internet, and this is the podcast where guests tell me their stories. And this week I have with me Peter F.A. Hello, Peter.
Hey, Claire. How's it going?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. I'm excited. It's a bit early for me over here on the West Coast in California. So I'm going to try to get hyped up for this.
I'm a big tea boy. What's in your background there, actually? I've just spotted it. It's not Star Wars, is it?
It is Star Wars. It's Jabba's Palace. Yes.
I love it.
Beautiful.
Would you like to tell everyone where to find you on the internet?
Absolutely. So I am a Star Wars podcaster. As you can see from the background, I do a podcast called Rebels Rebels, where my co-hosts and I go through all of the expanded universe of Star Wars and get really nerdy and stuff. We just talked about the anime series that came out, and we're doing a little weird special edition thing in November where I'm a huge Star Trek fan as well. And
same.
My co-host knows nothing about Star Trek, so I am introducing him to classic Star Trek. So I'm hoping it's a springboard for people who are Star Wars fans that aren't that familiar with Star Trek to kind of check it out. So we're called Rebels Rebels. You can find us on iTunes or anything by searching Rebels Rebels Radio. And you can check us out on Twitter or Instagram at Rebels Rebels Pod.
That's amazing. I'll have all your links down in the description and in the show notes on SoundCloud. I was actually just about to ask you what episode you'd recommend to jump in, because I was like, that sounds really good, but I'm gonna do the Star Trek ones because I love both as well.
Yeah, the day we're actually recording this, I know it's coming out in a little bit, is we are dropping our very first episode of it, and we are talking
amazing.
About
so yes, by the time this is live, it will be live.
Yep, exactly. So check it out. It should be super fun.
Brilliant. And yes, again, all links down in the description. Just scroll down and click through. So you have a good story for us today.
Yeah, good is relative. I can laugh about it now.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess it's one of those unique time and place kind of things. So there's a couple internet controversies that happened a couple years ago, and I don't know how worldwide they went, but I don't know if you're familiar with Gamergate at all. This is where it all started.
Okay.
So as my day job, when I'm not podcasting or playing music, I am a data analyst, and I've worked at maybe some large West Coast Bay Area tech companies, including I have to be careful how I say this. So I am going to name this company just large internet tech company, but you might be able to figure out who it is. But I worked at a large internet tech company for a while, and they kind of encouraged us to, is one of those like touchy-feely places, like be who you are, bring yourself to the workplace.
Yeah.
And as part of that, we had internal mailing lists of all these different topics. So, you know, I'm into basketball. So I was in a basketball mailing list, and people would just talk about different things. And there's one where people would talk about news stories that came up. And so it's kind of a news / politics podcast, or not podcast, a newsletter. And so one day, I don't remember the exact context of what it was. This was a long time ago, I think 2014. It was an article kind of about Gamergate and basically talking about how online bullying wasn't actually that big of a deal. And I took umbrage with that. And so I don't think I was inappropriate. I was being fairly, like, I laid out a very weird, people were discussing, and it was actually a really respectful conversation from what I understand. And people were discussing it, and I think I laid out some nice, respectful points appropriate for the workplace. But I'm a little bit of a, you know, I could be a little bit of a jackass sometimes. So there was a John Oliver segment that had just come out about Gamergate and online bullying. And he had a joke that I thought was amazing that said, and I'm quoting John Oliver, "If you don't think that online bullying is a big deal, then congrats on your white penis." So I thought that was a hilarious joke. So I responded to this conversation, this thread, with a very, again, well thought out, respectful kind of my opinions. And as the tagline, as my sign off, I just quoted, as John Oliver would say, if you don't think online bullying is a problem, then congratulations on your white penis. So that was it. I didn't hear anything else. The conversation kind of died down.
To be fair, you said to quote John Oliver. So it's not like they thought it was your sentiment.
Exactly. Yeah. And so years later, I'm going to double check. So that, I think that was probably 2015. I wrote that email in 2017. This new online controversy happened because my ambiguous internet tech company that I work for had an internal memo circulated by an employee talking about how the place I worked was a ideological echo chamber and conservatives at the company are being silenced. And as part of that article, quote unquote, that they wrote, they laid out all these arguments about why different genders are just biologically adapt to different roles. And that's why women aren't great engineers.
Mm, based and on so, all the science, I'm sure that they did.
Yeah. So this ended up being, I don't know how far again it reached. This ended up being a worldwide news story.
That was big. I remember that one. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So that memo went around and it became a huge thing. The person who wrote this memo, this email, whatever it was interviewed on these things and eventually ended up getting fired. And he became kind of a martyr for conservatives and went on these weird speaking engagements and things like that. It was a huge thing on Fox News and all these other conservative outlets. I wasn't involved in this at all. But one day I wake up and LinkedIn had this feature, which I don't know if it is a thing anymore. And I hope it's not because of exactly things like this. I woke up to maybe 100 notifications and text messages one day. And I was like, huh, that's always a concerning thing.
Yeah.
And so I look up what happened and it's all my friends be like, hey, is everything okay? What's going on? Are you all right? I was like, okay, I don't know what this is. And I looked at a ton of LinkedIn notifications. And on LinkedIn, evidently they crawl the internet and they were like, hey, your friend on LinkedIn, Peter, was mentioned in a news article. Congrats. Here's the link to the news article. And I think the intention is like, you know, I did a cool speaking engagement. Yeah, I'm getting press for it. Right. Well, the news article I was named in was a Breitbart.com news article.
Oh, God. Oh, no.
About how unnamed internet company is a liberal cult.
Oh, Jesus.
And as their evidence to me being part of this liberal cult, they took that John Oliver quote completely out of context. So what ended up happening was another engineer, not the person who did the entire big memo, leaked a bunch of internal documents from the company to Breitbart.com and cherry picked things to make it seem like it's a liberal cult. Of course, because
they couldn't just not cherry pick things.
Exactly. And so they didn't even say the part about where I said it, in the words of John Oliver.
Oh, so they actually cut out the fact you were quoting John Oliver and just said that you said that. Oh,
so the actual paragraph said something like,
according to Peter.
Yeah. I remember in an internal message board with thousands of employees, employee Peter and then my last name said without irony, quote, congratulations on your white penis. Imagine if I had said, congratulations on your black vagina. I would have gotten fired. And as far as I know, Peter got no disciplinary actions.
Oh my God.
So that is the snippet that got sent to all of my professional contacts on LinkedIn as well.
Sorry, so not
only, it's okay. It's funny now. I can totally get it. But not only was I kind of doxed, I mean, my first name and last name's here for a while.
I was going to ask, is that technically a dox? Because
Well,
that feels to me kind of like a dox, even though they're not sharing your address. They're sharing your full name and where you work. And not everybody even has that on their LinkedIn or, you know what I mean? Like, I also worked at a big unnamed tech corporation for a while. But the way that it was like contracted through another company. So we actually weren't even supposed to have it on our profiles. You know what I mean? So that feels to me like a bit of a dox.
Yeah. I mean,
not that Breitbart gives a shit, but.
I know, right? I don't know if the line is. So I will say that. Yes, my first name and my last name was on the internet at the place I worked. If you Googled me for a long time, that was the first thing that popped up, which was very fun. And I did get people finding me on social media and things like that to harass me. So, yeah, I'd consider it a dox.
That's a dox,
so you may have, as you've mentioned, you've introduced me as Peter F.A. Things have cooled down quite a bit, and it wasn't that bad in the context of things. I got off very easy, and I will say, for the unnamed tech company, they have a whole security apparatus that was able to kind of help me protect me and help get my identity scrubbed off the internet and stuff. So they did really support me through this. But, you know, I ended up, Peter F.A. is for Peter Fazi Anoraki. I'm part Persian. And so that's my Persian name. That's my mom's maiden name in Iran. And so whenever I do things with my band or my podcast or anything kind of public, I kind of default to that name instead of my legal last name for exactly this reason.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
So yeah, I'd say mild doxing.
Yeah. Once you realized what had happened, like what did you do? What did it feel like?
It was freaky. I mean, I think the thing I was most concerned about was, I guess we got to decide how deep of a podcast are we going to be right now? As I mentioned, I am part Persian. And I was in early high school when 9/11 happened. So there was some blowback, even though Iran had nothing to do with 9/11. There was quite a bit of blowback against Middle Easterners in our country, including when I was young, a white supremacist group threw a rock through our window and like told us to go out, like go home, back to our country and stuff like that. And there was a bunch of other stuff, especially targeted toward my mom because she's much more identifiable as a Middle Eastern person. So with that context, I think that was really what was going through my mind is I was less concerned for myself. People might harass me on the internet or whatever, but I was really concerned about my parents, my mom specifically, you know, my siblings, if they got any blowback from it, you know, if they can find my social media, they can probably find people I'm related to and then harass them. And so that was really, I remember I kind of took the day off work and just spent the entire day doing as much as I can to scrub myself from the internet. And then I messaged all my family members and gave them tools and things like that to try to do the same. I don't know if any of your listeners, you have been to this or checked this out, but you know, there's so many weird websites that just have personal information of you from credit reports or who knows where they get it. That, you know, if you really Google yourself, you can find addresses and things like that if you're not. And they're random sites. I don't even know what they're for. And so there's all these really complicated mechanisms for trying to erase that and get that off the internet. And some of it was successful. Some of it wasn't. I had to write a physical letter to one company to ask them to take my information down.
Oh, my God.
So that was mostly it. I kind of went into, you know, like get shit done mode. I didn't really feel my feelings until a while after, where it's just like, all right, this is a problem. We got to figure it out. How do I fix this? And luckily things seem to have blown by. And, you know, if you Google my name now, that's not the first thing that pops up, which is nice.
Did you ever manage to get that removed from Breitbart or not? I presume not.
So if you Google it now, I did actually just for this, something happened where they changed the article. So it still has my quote in it, but they changed some of the details in the headline and things like that to, I don't know why, probably some nefarious reason. And it's much harder to find. It's been buried a little more.
They probably did it to try and bump it back up and ended up it ended up going down or something in the Google search results.
Yeah.
Ha ha. Screw you, Breitbart.
Yeah. So luckily things seem fairly chill right now.
Yeah, that's mad. That's it's a scary prospect. I talked to Ella Dawson before, who I think it wasn't Breitbart, but it was another like right wing sort of outlet that wrote an article on her as well. And it just seems like such a scary prospect, like to be misquoted and like sort of put up as a target by these kind of websites and these kind of people. It's very scary. The time that Breitbart was huge on the internet was a dark time on the internet.
Yeah, definitely. And it was right in the 2017, I think this happened. So right in the height of Breitbart's power too, which was kind of freaky. I think too, if I remember correctly, because you know Fox News would quote things from Breitbart. So I think they took my name off of it, but the story ran on Fox News too. So that's kind of crazy as well.
I know. That's just I mean, yeah, I understand Fox are just quoting Breitbart, but it's just irresponsible journalism.
Yeah.
Not that Breitbart is journalism, but you know what I mean.
Especially, it's kind of ironic because it's all started with Gamergate and online harassment, not to say.
Yeah, it's full circle moment, actually. Yeah. They harassed you then after that.
Yeah. And I mean, I had nothing compared to some of the worst things that have happened to other people, especially women on the internet. And so I am very lucky again, but I think the thing that was weirdest about it in retrospect is just how it feels like being struck by lightning, that this thing from at the time, 3 years ago, that I just thought I was making a funny joke on this place I thought was safe, just and forgot about it. And all of a sudden, my world blows up for a couple weeks because
actually there must have been a moment of like where you had to remember when you said that you're like
yeah, that was the weird thing too, because when you first read it, I'm like, it kind of rings a bell, but I don't really remember it.
Yeah,
I
hope, because I didn't, you're quoting a joke, it's not like your original joke, so you must have been like, when the fuck did I say that?
I don't, well, at that point too, I'm like, because I mean, honestly, it's not out of character for me to say something like that, but like I would try to not do that at work, but like I had to think, because there was this weird moment where I go, oh my God, did I say something really bad? And so I went through and searched through my whole history, and I eventually found the actual email. I took screenshots and stuff. So like, it got to the point where I got named it was named as evidence in the court case for the big kerfuffle with the original guy that wrote the memo. It never ended up going anywhere. It was just like a footnote in the documentation for the court case where that I guess they could have subpoenaed it or talked to me or something like that. So I had that in the back of my head too, where I'm like, all right, I need to save this for evidence that, you know, I was quoting someone, maybe it was an off-color joke to quote at work, but it's not like I was specifically harassing someone for their white penis.
And what I was gonna say, so, and you don't have to answer this if you're not able to, but like the other guy who leaked to Breitbart, or girl, did they ever get caught?
I have no idea who that person was.
So they could, well, hopefully would not still be working there, but you never know.
Could be. There's some, that's another thing I've learned too about the tech industry out here. There's, I'm not at that company anymore too. So I don't know. I'm speaking for years ago, but they have the facade of, we all love each other, you know, one nation, one humanity. Let's all get together around technology.
And they all do.
Uplift all people. Yeah, all that stuff. And I think that for the most part, that is their actual intention, you know, aside from making money, which if, you know, they can make more money by screwing over those ideals, many of them will. But that being said, there's these apps that I found when I was trying to find my most recent job, because I wanted to get like an insider's perspective of what it's like to work at my current position before I worked here. And there's all these apps where you can be anonymous. You just say what company you work for and they can't track you. So you can kind of just say whatever you want.
Yeah.
So,
is that like Glassdoor and those kind of ones?
It's like Glassdoor, but shadier.
Okay.
Like Glassdoor
is not anonymous, right? Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. Glassdoor is actually a really cool resource, but it's, I think it's anonymous in the sense, like, they'll say, like, you would say like Peter G or something like that, or yeah, just say like Peter or my username or something like that. Like this, they don't even have really usernames or anything. I forgot what it was called. I stopped using it because of this reason, is a lot of these people who work at these tech companies that have these professed values of togetherness are complete the worst garbage of the humanity. All the things like you hear on some of these crazy like 8chan boards and stuff like that, there was stuff like that on these of people who are currently working at these tech companies talking about it through this app of just, yeah, I don't even remember specific examples, but I just so remember weird. Being blown
they'll
away.
They take the salary, no problem though.
Yeah. Like I remember getting really, exactly. I remember there's our governor, Gavin Newsom, was talking about a tax hike on people who made over like $300,000 or something like that. And there were posts about how this is a definition of racism, like equating people's race to making a bunch of money, stuff like that, that you're just, it's, yeah, such, I think secretly there is definitely some people that work in these companies that are not the most caring individuals, I will say.
Yeah, that's just mad. Cause like,
yeah,
you would think, like, I wouldn't go work for a company that was super against everything I stood for. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, so it's just neither. Funny when it's like, they'll take the money, no problem.
Yeah. Well, when the money's good.
Yeah.
People like that tend to really value money. So.
But thank you so much for coming on and sharing your story.
Yeah. Thank you. I appreciate it. It's fun. I haven't spoken about it this in depth before. And so it's kind of fun to reflect on it.
And please remind everyone where to find you and your podcast on the internet.
Yeah, so Rebels Rebels, you can check us out at Rebels Rebels Pod on Twitter and Instagram, or you can search Rebels Rebels Radio on your favorite podcast catcher. I also want to mention, I mentioned a couple of times, I play music. I'm in a band. We operate much like a nonprofit band, donating show proceeds and CD sales and things to local activists and charity.
Awesome.
Charity groups around in the Bay Area. And we actually just did a show where we raised a ton of money for a really cool houseless outreach program in Oakland. And so we're called Sore Thumb. We came out with a new EP during the pandemic. You can find it on Spotify and you can check us out at sorethumb.com or sorethumbband.com. Sorry.
That's a very cool name. Is there a story behind that?
Nope. Just the singer. I think we all kind of feel like we stick out like a sore thumb. We're all kind of a bunch of awkward weirdos. So I think that's the origination of it.
Cool. Well, thank you so much for coming on and sharing your story.
Yeah. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it. I love meeting other podcasters and chatting.
Yeah. And I'm looking forward to your Star Trek crossover, which will be live by the time this is live.
I'm
if anyone else
too.
Wants to check it out. Thank you so much for watching if you chose to watch the podcast on YouTube. Thank you so much for listening if you chose to listen on the audio platforms. If you did choose to listen on the audio platforms, please give us a review because it really helps me out and the podcast out. And if you are a YouTube fan, please subscribe. And yeah, I shall see you in the next one. Bye.
The force be with you.
This podcast was brought to you by The Shift. For more like this, check out theshift.ie.